Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Pastor Sam, would you come and would you tell us about Jesus? Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise as he comes tonight.
I am so blessed to be with you. Last year, there was like a love fest going on here. I met your pastors for the first time, and there are places you go to that, you know, you have a God-ordained assignment, and you don't negate that. You don't minimize that. You execute your assignment, and then you leave, and Deuce says, you be you, boo. But last year, that wasn't it. Like, I connected with two unbelievably beautiful, anointed, authentic, transparent, real people. Can y'all help me honor the best pastors on the planet, please? And they have like holy swag, man. I love this. You may be seated, I'm gonna get right into the word. There is a message resonating in my spirit for such a time as this. And I wanna lay it out for you. But before I get into it, I need you to understand clarity something, and I'm not gonna get into some deep pastor with great due deference, theological, angst, sort of terrific tension between dispensationalism and some sort of eschatological worldview that has to do with a kingdom mindset. I will not go in there and try to break that down or what it means. I have no idea what I just said right now, by the way. That's what chat told me to say this morning, so I'm just saying. But I do want to tell you that things are happening around the world for a purpose. It's not a coincidence. And you do need to know that you are alive in the most critical hour, because you are about to see the glory of Jesus fill the earth like no other generation. I'm gonna repeat that for the hearing impaired. You are witnessing something amazing. If you saw the studies from Barna, I was just in Helsinki, Finland, in Europe. Europe is experiencing massive revival. And Generation Z is coming to Jesus in record-breaking numbers. Right now, all the predictors say there will be more people in Generation C saved than in the entire Jesus movement of the early 1970s. I don't know what that means. It means put a smile on your face, because the next generation will not go to hell. The next generation will be saved. So here's the word of the Lord. And this is just, this right here in itself could be just a powerful movie or something on Netflix or series. It begins with a declaration from a very famous person who looked at another famous person and said, "Don't be a fool. Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. Don't be a fool. Don't be ridiculous." 1 Samuel 17:33. 2 Samuel 5:6. David led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. The Jebusites taunted David, saying, "You're never gonna get in here. Even the blind and the lame can keep you out." On multiple occasions, David was told it was impossible. He couldn't do it. Don't even try. But the antidote to that level of toxicity and negativity lies embedded in the following Psalm 92, verse 10. "I have been anointed with fresh oil." Simply stated, I am anointed to prove hell wrong. So permit me to share with you today the word of the Lord for you and your family. Through the finished work of Christ, you, if you're in this auditorium, I don't know if we're streaming or not, Pastor. We're not? We are not. We are yes. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. You that are streaming, you that are here, you that are still here but not even here, you. You are just like David, but even more because of what Jesus did on the cross. No joke. You're going to walk out of this service with the anointing to prove hell wrong. We'll do this just one time. We call this holy harassment. I want you to touch the neighbor you like the most and tell him, "I'm anointed to prove hell wrong." Tell your other neighbor, the one you barely tolerate. You know who that is. Touch that neighbor and tell him, "I'm anointed to prove hell wrong." If you're taking any notes, the subject matter today is fresh oil, anointed to prove hell wrong. Number one, You're anointed from the inside out. I'm going to need, Junior, come up here real quick. Pastor Junior, give it up for Pastor Junior Estrada, please. Stand on my right-hand side. You're going to be my illustration today. I have been anointed with fresh oil. So just like David, but upgraded exponentially through the finished work of Christ on the cross, you and I are not anointed to take selfies. We're not anointed to occupy space. We're not anointed just to survive or to accommodate the false notions of silent Christianity, comfortable Christianity, or private Christianity. There is no such animal. We are anointed with fresh oil to prove hell wrong. What does that mean? We are anointed to prove. I want to create space for something because it's going to sound a little bit narcissistic, but it isn't. Because nosotros confrontamos un sinnúmero de cosas todos los días de la vida. And there has to come a time where you have the prophetic audacity, where you have the biblically substantiated wherewithal and fortitude to look at every single negative voice, because we confront negative voices every single day. Every single day in the culture, in society, on social media, within yourself, the biggest negative voices are not even external, they're internal. The default mode network, right here in the frontal lobe, right here, aquí mismo la cabeza, bien grande que tienes aquí. Right here, there is, if you don't speak Spanish, by the way, repent already, please. Please, es arrepiéntete en el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret. So, but the struggle is right here, and the struggle is real, and we fight against negative things every single day. There are voices, just like the voices from the Jebusites, from Saul and Goliath, telling us we can't do it, we won't do it, it's impossible. Every single day, there are voices that tell us it cannot be done, it will not be done, it shall not be done. But when you are born again, when the blood of Jesus washed you of all your sins, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you have access to the throne room of grace, Hebrews 4:16, through the finished work of Christ, immediately receiving mercy and grace, when you know Romans 13, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, when you are a John 4:4 believer, that you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then, right here, this day, on this very day, in this very hour, you have the ability, the authority to say the following. And again, it's not you saying it in your name. It's not you saying it for you, but you can say the following. And when you are born again, when Jesus is your everything, when you're Galatians 2:20 and you are crucified with Christ, but you no longer live, but Christ lives in you, Señor, aguántanos en el nombre de Jesús. Look at me. I need two words to come out of your mouth. If the enemy hasn't shown up recently to shut you down and shut you up, this is not for you. If you haven't been through any warfare in the past 3 years, this is not for you. If the enemy hasn't attempted to rob, kill, or destroy something in you or around you or your family members, this is not for you. But if you have confronted negative voices, if the enemy has shown up one way or another and he has told you, don't be ridiculous, don't be a fool, how dare you believe God for that miracle? How dare you believe God for that breakthrough? How dare you believe God for that healing? How dare you? I need two words to come out of your mouth. And here are the two words again. Your two words, ready? Again, not self-absorbed, but because Jesus is your Lord, I dare you today to open up your mouth and look at everything that has told you that you can't do it, that you won't do it. I dare you to open up your mouth and say, watch me. Watch me overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Watch me and my family go from one level of glory to the next level of glory. Watch me and my house serve the Lord. Is there anybody in San Bernardino that has the faith to open up your mouth and shout, watch me? Watch me, watch me. Fill the earth with the glory of Jesus like never before. That's what fresh oil does. Are there any questions? Because we are anointed with fresh oil to prove how wrong. Let me teach real quick in a second. What is, just to be clear, because so much has been written and so much has been shared in the Christian world. What is the anointing? The anointing is heaven's authority upon your divine assignment. The anointing is God's power to fulfill his purpose. The anointing is God's presence that enables you to occupy his promises. The anointing is God's super over your natural, enabling you to experience the supernatural. The anointing is where the grace, the gift, and the glory of God inside of you come together, empowering you to change the world in front of you. Mark 6:13, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So from Genesis to Revelation, even today, we discovered, here we go, anointed people do what others will not do. What you're talking about, Willis? Anointed people do what others will not do. How about this? Anointed people do what others cannot do. Anointed people do not whine, they worship. Anointed people do not focus on the darkness, they turn on the light. Anointed people do not make excuses, they make history. Under the anointing, we shout down walls, we bring down giants, we pray down fire. We do cast out devils and demons in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We speak truth with love, we pursue righteousness. We don't tell our children to pray, we show them how to pray. The anointing. Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I am saved. I am delivered. I am healed. I am chosen. I am anointed. But you have been anointed by the Holy One and you have all the knowledge you need. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. That means you're going in as anointed, you're going out as anointed. You've been anointed with fresh oil. And I want to make it clear, what is the anointing? Real simple, the anointing is none other than the Holy Spirit. What, Pastor Sam? Yes. 1 John 2:27, for you have received the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. What does that mean? So all this thing, Pastor Sam, am I anointed? If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, it means you're anointed. You are anointed. But I need to illustrate something here real quick. In the Old Testament, let me, here, Junior, hold on to this, please. This is, let me see, open up. I need to illustrate this here, Junior, so if you don't mind. Okay. In the Old Testament, because today when we illustrate things about the anointing, even in church symbolically, in my church, maybe at your polity here, when we ordain ministers, when we pray for the sick and so forth, we take, you know, the extra virgin olive oil. By the way, I have a curious question because I'm a thinking person. Have you ever found olive oil that was just virgin and not extra? Right? Can you imagine going to Trader Joe's and go, I don't want the extra, I just want the virgin olive oil. Hold that there. In the Old Testament, because today we do this, like if I was going to anoint you. We call it the dab. Little dab. I mean, little dab. And we dab. And it's right. It's the right thing to do because, you know, this is, it's a symbolic thing. It's more symbolic, but there's a prophetic affirmation to that symbolism that's biblically substantiated. So it's not just something that's symbolic. It has power behind it because God said so. But we do it this way now. But in the Old Testament, there was no dab. In the Old Testament, when they anointed them, there wasn't a dab. There was no dab in the Old Testament. When they anointed David, when they anointed Aaron, when they anointed the prophets, when they anointed the kings, it wasn't a dab. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's a generation right now rising up that's hungry for an outpouring and it's not satisfied with anything else, but rather than outpouring. In other words, there's a generation rising up that doesn't want to feel God, they want to be filled by God. There's a generation rising up that doesn't want to be touched by God, they want to be transformed by the power of God. Is there anyone here ready for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like you have never seen before? So there is a generation so hungry for authenticity and real and the power of God. And so hold on, Junior, stop interrupting me, please. So in the Old Testament, because it wasn't a dab, I'm talking about David within the finished work of Christ, but I have to show you the complete. Okay. And so, because by the way, in you all know Exodus and Aaron, and you know about the anointing. I know you know, but it was not from the feet up, it was from the head down. You're not anointed from the feet up. You're anointed from the head down. Why would they anoint? Why would they pour it out from the head down? Anyone know? Because the Bible talks about if it's connected to the head, it will be under the anointing. So if it pours out from the head down, if it's connected, it will fall under the anointing. And then I got to tell you a quick story. There was an electric storm in Sacramento, right? And I was out preaching. I believe it was Malaysia. And I was out with George Hicks, my travel partner, and we were out in Malaysia, and I get a call from one of our pastors, and the call was Pastor Sam from Sacramento campus. Pastor Sam, we have an issue. They usually don't call me when I'm traveling unless something big happened. Pastor Sam, we have an issue. And I knew it was one of those like red flag issues, like what's going on? Well, we have a problem. What's the problem? The computers, the LED screens, the stuff in the back in the media, it's going, surge, boof. And I went like, are you kidding me? No. I go, but how in the world? We have standard operating procedures. We have SOPs. And that's SOPs, guys, by the way. You better not get that wrong. Get the wrong acronym. You get under the anointing. And so we have standard operating procedures. Every single day after each service, you know, someone walks around and they turn everything off. And the pastor said, and one of the called me, said, no, everything was off. We spoke to the SMUD PG&E people that it wasn't the issue. It was off. The issue was that it wasn't off in the region. They did the storm, the electric storm didn't hit our church, it hit the region. But because our stuff was off, it was still connected. And while it was connected, whatever power hit the region, as long as it was connected, even if it was off, the surge would still impact. I'm here to tell you that your children may be off, but if they're connected to you, the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through you will end up impacting them. So if you have family members who are off, but if they're connected to you, when the anointing flows through you, it will end up impacting them. Somebody shout like you know it's about to happen. All right, let's do it. In the Old Testament, that's what happened. So this is the way they did it. And they would pour out, and they would, but then Jesus came along. The anointed one. What do you think Christ, the word Christ means? The anointed one. And then he died on the cross. Shed his blood, resurrected. And then he came, John chapter 20. And then Acts chapter 2. And so, here, drink some. That's it. No, that really is it. I mean, it's not your first journey, is it? I have a testimony, Pastor. Here it is. You see what you just did? So you actually drank some, right? That's beautiful. Because when we are born again, we're no longer anointed from the outside in. We're anointed from the inside out. I don't know who got that. No, listen to me. That's where there's not a devil, a demon, a legion. There's not a person who can take away the anointing. You're not anointed just from the outside in. More importantly, you're anointed from the inside out. That's why you can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's why you can walk with the certainty. I'm here to tell you, you are anointed. You are anointed from the inside out. The glory of Jesus lives inside of you, and nothing can stop the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life. Are there any anointed people? People in the house here today. You're anointed. That's why you out of your belly shall flow rivers of John 7:38. That's fresh oil. You're anointed from the inside out. Your anointing is no longer the reality of an external application. It is the truth that stems of an internal revelation. That's the anointing. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the most powerful people on the planet today are people that are under the anointing and filled with the anointing. And we're about to change the world. I want to remind you, you're not a victim, you're anointed. You're not broke, busted, and disgusted, you are anointed. You are not the devil's punching bag, you are anointed. 2 Corinthians 1:21, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. Which means what? If you're a mom, you're an anointed mother. If you're a father, you're an anointed father. If you're a teacher, a doctor, a politician. If you're an entrepreneur, an investor. If you're a community leader, a therapist, a psychiatrist, psychologist. I don't care what you are. You are anointed. You're anointed. Know that that anointing lives inside of you, an internal revelation that cannot and will not be denied. You are fresh oil, anointed to bring down generational giants. God anointed David for every major season of his life. David was anointed 3 times. Somebody say 3 times. That to me is fascinating, by the way. 3 times. 1 Samuel 16:13, 2 Samuel 2:4, 2 Samuel 5:3. He was anointed on 3 different occasions, and we cannot deny the following. There are 3 major theologically agreed upon deliverables as it pertains to David's life. The 3 greatest accomplishments of David's life. Number 1, he defeated the giant of his generation. Number 2, he occupied Jerusalem. He occupied the promise. And number 3, he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He filled his world with the glory of God. Why am I here on this day? I have to tell you that the anointing God has placed inside of you is not to take selfies. It's not to occupy space. You are anointed for the same identical reason. I'm prophesying to you, and I may not get invited back. Okay, but I still love them anyway. Here it is. Are you ready? You are anointed to bring down every generational giant in your family in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna do that one more time. Every giant who has ever occupied your family lineage, I don't care if it's alcoholism, pornography, immorality, I don't care if it's a predisposition for cancer or diabetes, poverty, whatever it may be, I'm here to tell you, I don't think, I don't even hope, I don't even feel, I know you will bring down every giant in your generation in the name of Jesus. Anybody here ready to bring down some giants? Anybody here ready to bring down some giants? Anybody here ready to bring down the giant that have occupied your family for generations? Every generational giant will come down. Somebody shout like it's done right now. Right there where you're at, lift up your hands. The giant of depression is coming down. The giant of anxiety is coming down. The giant of addiction is coming down. And I say it one more time, the giant of multi-generational diseases is coming down. The giant of domestic violence is coming down. The giant of poverty, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, relational poverty is coming down. Every giant who has ever occupied space in your family tree by the authority of God in the name of Jesus, put a smile on your face. Every giant is coming down once and for all. How many believe it? Your children will walk upon the ruins of the giants. Not only are multi-generational giants coming down, I feel the Lord, but every even cultural collective giants are coming down. I believe there's enough faith in this room to believe that the giant of infanticide is coming down. The giant of racism is coming down. The giant of pedophilia is coming down. The giant of human trafficking is coming down. The giant of gender child mutilation is coming down. And I said it last year, every single giant coming after our children is coming down in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, give them your best praise right now. Somebody praise like the devil's been defeated. Shout like the gates of hell will not prevail. Give God glory like it's done. I know what some of y'all are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor Sam, look at in the world right now. Every time we bring a giant down, another one pops up. Well, this is like an exercise in futility. Every time we defeat one, another one pops up. No. Por favor. No, Pastor Sam, every time I fight, listen, these things, but no. no matter the level of enemies and the magnitude and the number of enemies, it stopped focusing on the, and matter of fact, let me tell you what he said, David. Who? Psalm 23, verse 5. He said, he prepares a table in the presence of my followers, in the presence of my friends, in the presence who DM me and tell me how much they love me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my, in the presence of what? And in the presence of my enemies, he does what? He does what? In the presence of your enemies, he does what? Do you know what this means? Every time the devil shows up in your life, stop whining. Stop sucking your thumb and stop being in a fetal position. Every time the enemy shows up in your life, put a smile on your face. It means you're about to receive a new anointing and you're about to... Hey! Until my cup runneth. My cup runneth over. I gotta calm down. So much coffee. Get off it. How many can you have per day? 3 maximum. It's good for the brain, maybe. He anointed him to do that. And by the way, he anointed him, that anointing that brought forth the victory over the giant, that anointing wasn't done publicly, it was done privately. That one was done privately because God anoints the private you before he anoints the public you. And then David, he anointed him. The funny thing is he anointed him to be king and there was already a king. Who does that? Terrific tension. So he had to wait because you're anointed to wait before you win. He served his brothers. He took him some Panera bread sandwiches. So you're anointed to serve before you're anointed to lead. He stood. With that anointing, he had the wherewithal to stand. Y'all know it. Don't be a fool! You're never going to defeat that giant. And then Goliath said, what is this? Might as well give me dogs. What are you doing? So this naysaying, the negativity, his brothers started talking some trash, some smack. That means they spoke in a very derogatory, condescending manner. In a way to get that, okay. So he did that, but he stood. And then under the anointing, this guy gets up and says, looks at the giant and says, today, not tomorrow, he says today. Today, I'm gonna kill you, cut your head off. I mean, right, think about that. Because the giant was talking so much, don't ever permit the enemy to have the final word in your life. And you can't stay quiet. This idea that the enemy can declare something upon you and your family, and you just gotta take it in because you're a Christian and you're meant to suffer, stop that. Stop that. If the enemy speaks smack against you or about your purpose and your God-ordained destiny upon you and your children, don't stay quiet. Don't stay quiet. The only time you're quiet is to listen to God's voice and to listen to God's word. But in front of the enemy, you open up your mouth and you say, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. I have a name that is above every other name. He stood up and said, today, somebody say today. I got to expedite the process. I'm going to share a little brief thing. Something happened to me where I faced a giant that I had to confront. And real quick, I'm going to do it in a real fast way because I'm not speaking fast right now. So we in Sacramento, we were coming out of COVID. And coming out of COVID, Sacramento, we had an interesting scenario there. I'm not going to get into the, okay, whatever. Anyway, we grew. The decisions that we made, God blew up the harvest and he protected our church. And we grew and he protected us from a lot of things. But we grew. And we grew a lot. Like more than just his harvest, he anoints, he brings every day. The Holy Spirit adds on to the church, the book of Acts. So we grew. And it got to the point where we grew. And then all of a sudden we grew. And then the county came in and counted the people. And we had more people than we should have and gave us a little notice. You can't do that. No. So we were like, what do we do? And our team was there, and Pastor Armando's part of our executive management team, so he ran this with us. And we went, Lord, give us an answer. And all of a sudden, we get this call from a ministry in the region. He said, Pastor Sam, we have an issue during COVID. We shrunk. We have a big ministry. We needed a bigger building. And he said, Pastor Sam, we have three buildings right now. One building fits 3,000, the other one fits 1,000, a multi-purpose room, and then we have a small chapel that fits close to 300. 47 acres, highway frontage. Pastor Sam, would you have any interest in this property? That's like asking me if I like coffee. So, I went, because you have to kind of be nuanced about it. So I went like, let me prayerfully consider it. Which meant, yeah! So we responded. We had five different meetings with the initial committees, went through the fight, dot the I's, cross the T's, an incredible amount of debt that we would have to take over, but we even found a way to address that. So we're ready. So there were two other churches in the mix. And they came to us and said, we decided that you are it. So I went, wow. So what what do we have to do? Well, your board meets with our board for the final meeting. Our board will ask any question they have and we'll sign an MOU right there. Wow, can you tell me the questions? You have any idea? No, we want this to be organic and spontaneous. And we want it to be natural. So we don't even know the pastor. I don't even know the questions. Let's just have that, but I don't foresee any problems. Sam, he said, Sam, let's just do it. So I did. So we met Armando. We met 1 hour before the meeting. And we met, I'm not going to tell you where we met. We met at a certain establishment that sells coffee that has Jezebel in the cup. Did I mention any names? Did I? Did I say any names? No. So we went there and I picked up my almond milk latte and we were there. And so we sat there and we met and I asked questions. What do you think you're going to ask? They said, Pastor, I think you're going to ask. Talk about fiduciary governance, risk management, liabilities, attrition, program integration, blah, blah, blah. The church that's leaving, should we provide space for them or will we provide space for them, etc. So it wasn't a merger. It was like we take over, and then we provide. All right, we had that. So we had all that. And we put all that down. Okay, any other questions? None. All right, guys, let's do this. Let's go. Okay. Our team stood up. We went across the street, went into the building. We sat down. The pastor welcomed us. I walked into the meeting. Their board was there. I was here. And the pastor looks at me and says, Pastor Sam, welcome. First time our board meets your board. And Pastor Sam, that's your entire board. Yes, sir. I made introductions. And then went, thank you for being here. We're seated. And then they go, well, Pastor Sam, are you ready? I go, I'm ready. Let's do this. And they go, wonderful. Our board is ready. Please, board, ask your first question. First question, man, right there. Lifts up his hand. He goes, Pastor Sam, first question. And I go, first question, what is it? He goes, Pastor Sam, our church, we lean left. Where do you lean? Now you got to put this in perspective. I'm thinking church membership integration. First thing I'm thinking is I'm being pranked. There's a camera here, and this is like all part of a skit. The second thing that went through my mind, because I'm a part-time comedian, is I'm going to be making jokes on this for the rest of my life. And this is what happened. Witnesses are there. No joke, no hype, no made up. This is my face. It really looked like the fiber didn't kick in. I was really looking. And it was a struggle. Nothing. And then my team is here because it was a sign and a wonder. They were here because they've never seen Pastor Sam so quiet. Nothing would come out. And my team is going like, say something. Just say something. Say something. So fight. And the reason I couldn't say anything is I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is telling me, go ahead, say it. Go ahead, say it. And I'm going like, yo no quiero. Say it, yo no quiero. Samuel, abre tu boca y dilo en este momento. When the Lord speaks to you in Spanish, it's game over, you're done, you have no other choice. It's like your abuela con la chancleta. It's done, it's gonna happen. It's like, it's not gonna happen. So I looked up, so help me, all nicely verified on both sides, by the way. Both teams are verified. They're just like this. I looked up and I went like, you know what? Thank you for your question. Your question is, you lean left. Where do we lean? Well, with great due deference, at our church, we don't lean. We stand. We stand on the word of God. We stand on the finished work of Christ. We don't need a church that leans to the left or to the right. We need a church that stands on the gospel of Jesus. We stand for biblical truth. We stand for righteousness and justice. We stand for everything Jesus paid for on the cross. Is there anyone in San Bernardino, California that is willing to stand even in the midst of adversity? The anointing of God is not for you to lean. It's for you to stand. Are there any standing believers in the house? Church, stand up in your ministry, stand up in your calling, stand up in the school, stand up in the voting booth, stand up in all that you do. We don't lean, we, somebody shout like we stand with me. Standing, stand with me, which means this: everything the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Everything the Bible calls sin, we call sin. Stand up for holy sexuality. Stand up for the family. Stand up for godliness. Stand up for racial unity. Stand up for biblical justice. Stand up for the gospel. Stand in the name of Jesus. Stand, stand, stand. Just like he stood, you stand. It says that David stood under that anointing. He stood. And as you stand with me, I want to conclude with this. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand. I'm declaring there's a church about to rise up that doesn't lean left or right. We're about to see a church no longer married to a donkey or an elephant, but married to the Lamb, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We stand. Fresh oil. You're anointed to prove how wrong by removing Saul's armor. Saul gave David his armor, 1 Samuel 17, 38-39. David responded, I can't go in these. He protested and he removed and took off Saul's armor. I want you to hear me. There's always going to be a fight between the anointing, what God has placed inside of you, versus what man wants to impose upon you. You missed that. You'll get that by tomorrow morning. You can't overcome the giants of your generation and occupy the promises and fill the earth with the glory of God wearing Saul's armor. You have to remove what man, what culture has placed upon you in order to attempt to define you. The anointing and the armor have a constant fight, and you can't have both. You can't be anointed and carry Saul's armor. That represents what someone or something in authority in your life placed upon you. Saul's armor is your lid. Why would you? This really happened. Don't be a fool. You're never gonna bring down that giant. By the way, here's my armor. That really happened. One moment he says, don't be a fool. You're never going to defeat the giant. By the way, wear my armor. Why would I ever wear something from someone who never believed in me in the first place? Never put on your life or your family's life. Never put on anything from people who never believed in God's purpose upon your life and your destiny. You have to remove Saul's armor. There's always a struggle between the anointing inside of you and man's imposition upon you. One more thing. Why would Saul place his armor on him if he didn't believe in him? 1 Samuel 15 has a biopsychosocial profile that be it Carl Rogers or Jung, maybe not Freud, but William James would be pleased with. Real simple profile. It talks about a narcissist. Saul was the quintessential narcissistic king. It was all about him. So let me give you something. Why would Saul place his armor upon him if he did not believe in him? It's just in case. just in case miraculously you bring down that giant, I want people to say that the reason you only brought down that giant was because you were wearing my armor. There are people that put things upon you, not because they care about the outcome, but they want to get some credit at the end of the day if the outcome comes out in your favor. I'm here to tell you that what God's about to do upon you and through you will be so great. The only one that will get the glory in this chapter of your life will be King Jesus. Somebody say, "Hail King Jesus!" Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. I sense the Lord here. You cannot fight your giant with someone else's armor. You can't fulfill your purpose with someone else's promise. You cannot live out your destiny with someone else's identity. You have to carry your own testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our, which is Jesus, Revelation 12, 11. What God has placed on you and inside of you cannot share space with what man has imposed upon you. Saul's armor versus David's anointing. Saul's influence versus David's integrity. Saul's ambition versus David's anointing. And we know for a fact that influence and ambition cannot bring down the giants. It's integrity and anointing. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. So he removed the armor. And it was just him and the anointing. Not even his brother supported him. It was just him and the anointing. Sometimes it's just you and the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been a season in your life? Have you ever been in a season where it was just you and God? If you've been there, lift up one hand. If you've been in multiple chapters of your life where it was just you and him, just you and him facing some very measurable giants, but you knew that you knew that you knew that if he was with you, his grace is sufficient. So I traveled with fear and trembling under the anointing to tell you today, on this Wednesday evening, that there's fresh oil coming for you and your family. Just like David, you're anointed to bring down the giants, you're anointed to occupy God's promises, and you're anointed to fill your world with the glory of God. And that fresh oil is coming upon you as I speak. I'm going to do it real quick. I'm going to release you right now. No coercion, no manipulation. If you say, "Pastor Sam, I'm in desperate need of fresh oil. I need it because there are some giants that need to come down. I need it because there are promises yet to be occupied. I need it because I will fill my world with the glory of Jesus. And I need it now." If you're in desperate need of fresh oil, it's not a new Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit doing something new in you, with you, for you, and through you for the glory of God. Are you ready for this? If you're ready for a fresh oil, for fresh impartation, for a fresh infusion, a fresh manifestation of the finished work of Christ through the inhabitant who is the Holy Spirit, the seal, the guarantee, the ruach, the promise, the proof that God loves us, Romans 5:5. If you're ready for it, come out of your seat and join me right now somewhere up here. Go, 1, 2, 3, come on, get fresh oil right now. Get fresh oil, get fresh oil. With your hands lifted up, get fresh oil, get fresh oil. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Yeah, 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 yeah. I sense the Lord, I sense the Lord. Fresh oil upon you and your family. Fresh oil. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. have anointed me with fresh oil. Me has dado la fuerza como de búfalo. Me has ungido con aceite fresco. That's God's word for you. I am going to give it to Pastor here. Can you just lift up your hands one more time? I am asking the Holy Spirit right now, just upon you and your family, to walk right now out of this service, not for a day, not a temporal, emotional, exuberant moment, but rather you walk out with a fresh anointing to bring down every single giant in your generation and every giant that dares come your way. To occupy not some of God's promises, but all of God's promises. And to fill your world with the glory of Jesus. Through all of your actions, words, and deeds, through the private you and the public you, fill the earth with the glory of Jesus Christ. Receive fresh oil right now as I speak. Everything you do now is anointed. Your words are anointed. Your prayers are anointed. Your praise and your worship, anointed. The words that come out of your mouth, anointed. The thoughts that go through your mind, anointed. You're under fresh oil. This is your season of fresh oil. If you receive all of it, not some of it, but all of it, can you just do me one favor real quick? I know you're thinking already, Pastor, this guy's wild, he's a little bit crazy. That's all totally accurate descriptors, by the way. But do you mind just, when I say now, for you to go like this and just remove Saul's armor? Whatever has been placed upon you by people that had authority in your life that has existed as a lid, it could be ideas, it could be dogmas, it could be a worldview, it could be a comment, a statement, a trauma. Today, I'm prophesying, I am declaring that everything that has been placed upon you to impede that anointing is coming off you once and for all in the name of Jesus. So when I count to three, all I want you to do is remove Saul's armor, and the only thing that will be left will be the anointing. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Somebody give him praise like it's done. Somebody give him glory like it's done, like it's done, like it's done, like it's done, like it's done.
Your name is holy. Your name is worthy. Your name is Jesus. Yeah. Your name is holy. Your name is worthy. Your name is Jesus.
Got a minute. Got a minute. Just don't move. This is the most important part of the service. This is the most important part of the service. This is the most important part of the service. It really is. If you're in this auditorium, or if you're streaming right now, and you need to get your life right with God, if you have no idea where you will end up if you die tonight, and no idea for what purpose you will live if you live tomorrow, you're in the right place at the right time. You're not here by coincidence, my friend. God ordained you from your mother's womb to be here right now to have an encounter with the Messiah, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you need to get your life right with God, if you say, Pastor Sam, I don't understand everything you said, and by the way, you talk too fast, but if you say, Mr. Preacher Man who gets loud, and boy, do you ever yell, sir, something you said got me. I've been holding, carrying stuff that's been holding me down, and there's some giants in my family that you're telling me that if I come to Jesus and I accept him, that he already paid the price to defeat all of that? He already defeated all of that on the cross, according to Colossians 2:15. On the cross, he defeated every spiritual tyrant. He made a public spectacle out of them. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Colossians 2:15. That's you. So if that's you, if you need to get your life right with God, if you have no idea if you die tonight, if you go to hell or heaven, but you want to know for certain, all I want to do is this. I'm going to create some space right here. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. If that's you, I want you to break through the crowd like the woman of the issue of blood. break through the crowd and get up here real quick in front of me right now. This will be hashtag your best day ever. If that's you, bam, go, 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 right there, come on, right there, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Anybody else, anybody else? Anybody else says, I just won't get my life right with God. I don't care what you're fighting. I don't care if you've had church, religion, come on. I don't care. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've been through before. You're about to see God show up in your life. Anybody else? Come on, Rock, let's celebrate right now. Let's celebrate this. This is it. This is it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Entire family saved, delivered, healed, set free by the power of Jesus. Where's Pastor? Was Pastor raptured? Here, Pastor. Pastor, lead us. What do we do next here? What do we do next?
Well, would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me right now, and I want you just to place a hand over your heart and say, Father God, I come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. I give you all my heart and all my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me my past. And give me a future with you. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. From now on, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, can we just praise the Lord? Hey, guys. Welcome to the family. We're so excited for you guys. Now listen, just like you heard, there is something to live for tomorrow. My friend over here, Pastor Joel, he's waving at you, really good guy. He wants to give you some free information, free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next year, walk with God, pray with you. If you need a Bible, we'll give you a Bible, okay? He'll just take you right over there for a couple minutes, and then he'll let you come right back out, okay? Your friends and family, wait for you. Just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Hallelujah.
Pastor, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is exactly what, fill the earth with the glory of Jesus right here. Can I have your attention for one moment? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I had too much coffee today. I was really wired, but
it was wonderful.
I promise you, if you invite me again, I'll have even more.
Nice.
Love you, honor you. You and your wife, you and this family, this church, you're under fresh oil.
Amen.
So enjoy the journey in Jesus' name. It's going to be amazing. We love you. We bless you. Y'all have the best pastors on the planet. With the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, make this season a season of fresh oil for you and your family. Let's do one thing together, and I mean this. In Jesus' name, let's go change the world. God bless you and God keep you.
Come on, give it up. Did you get some from the Lord tonight? Did you get fresh oil tonight? Who's taking down a giant? Who's going to go out there and fill the world with the glory of God? Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and we bless you as we prepare to dismiss tonight. Father, I bless your saints from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. With a great big shout of faith, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.